The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Episode 207 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where pimp stands for permaculture is my passion. The only pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, honey?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I was making you laugh before this show, wasn't I? You want to tell everybody what? No, maybe you shouldn't.
No, actually, what I'm laughing at is the cat's reaction to you. She's looking at you very disapprovingly while you... when you did your intro.
Man,
she is not amused.
First of all, people ought to be asking, why is a cat and a dog in the studio right now? This is kind of like my man place, but
no, it's not.
Yeah.
No,
well, it is not. When I'm broadcasting anyway. This episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam. Okay. Peaceful Valley, 10% off with promo code PERMA. People are always wondering where we get all of our seeds out there. Well, all the stuff we use in the food forest and stuff like that, that's where we're getting them. But right now we're working on a pimp mix from one of the local people we know, and I think it's going to be ballin'. They're telling me it's going to be even better than what they have there, and that it'll work better for this area.
Good.
So we're really looking forward to that. And if you would like to tip a pimp, like my little buddy says,
tip a pimp.
Yeah, you can do it over there on the Fountain app. You can listen to all your podcasts over there, even triple up the speed. And if you want to drop a derivation of Bitcoin on a player, you know where to do it. Over there on the Fountain app. So you can drop an SAT on a PIMP. And sorry about that weird whatever. Michelle's phone is linked up to this thing, and hopefully it wasn't somebody you know, because they're probably going to call right back. So, folks, if you hear that again, you'll know the reasons why. All right. So we're going to jump right into the farm news, and a whole lot going on today. Well, actually, this is part of what I was going to announce. Well, I wouldn't say so much announce, but this is what I was going to talk about on Monday. But we get so doggone busy this time of year that, you know, I had another podcast that I intended to use at a later time, but I ended up using it earlier because we got so much going on. Well, anyway, the sheep, when they came off the side of the mountain, okay, we're in the middle of summer, right?
Right.
So that being the case, remember, well, I know you're aware. That was a rhetorical question to the audience, but yeah, it certainly doesn't help that you answered as well.
But you looked at me like you wanted me to confirm that we are in summer. So
yeah, well, we're hearing some kind of feedback here, so hopefully that goes away. Anyway, when your grass is growing quickly, you move the animals more often. When it's not growing so quickly, like when you're in the middle of summer or drought or something like that, you might leave them there a little longer. Well, up until recently, we were moving them basically once a day. Now that, you know, they knocked down all the big stuff, and of course, we didn't have enough, you know, the little ones weren't enough. They didn't have enough to basically knock down all the other stuff. So we had to move them. I mean, it was touch and go. I'd have to go behind them with a weed eater. Now that we're in the throes of summer, well, they're on a 2-day rotation. So that's going to be touch and go in certain areas. And believe it or not, had to throw them a little bit of hay last night, which isn't something. I mean, that's like, I mean, if I got the paddock too small and it was at the end of the day and I ain't about to move it at that point. So it's like whatever we have, that's what we're going to have. So, you know, throwing hay out there. But that is a rare, rare thing. Whenever I misjudge it, it's better that they undereat than it's better that there's more left behind than them turning the place into a moonscape.
Right. Or throwing a fit because there's not enough in there.
In which case, that's when we throw honey.
Because when we do.
In which case, when there's not enough in there, like last night.
Then we throw hay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's when you're going to have problems with them getting out is if there's nothing to eat.
Yeah. And we had a little one basically nose under the fence last night. And that's exactly what he was doing. Speaking of him, well, you want to tell everybody what we did this morning with him and the other one?
So we... But how many do we have? Two or three?
Well, have three, then we messed up because
okay. I couldn't remember. We did two. We banded two of the boys. I was confused. I couldn't remember if we had two or three boys, but it was just two.
Yes. So those guys basically got dealt with this morning. Should have done it a long time ago, probably at about 8 weeks, but I waited this long. Well, I wanted to wait till they got off the side of the mountain.
Right.
You were kind of insistent on that. Like we get them off the really, really steep part. And now they're in the moderately steep part, which they can manage. So you can see them around this morning. They were like, man, what just happened, dude?
Yeah,
so
but they reacted better than I thought they would.
No, they were completely fine. So, you know, it's really not that difficult to do. It's easier when they're younger. But honestly, the longer you can wait, first of all, if we had enough land, if we had enough places to put them, I wouldn't band them at all. I'd let them grow up fully intact because they're going to put on weight better. But, man, I can't have these guys turning back in on mom and the sisters and everything. I mean, we don't play. I know we're in the hills, but, man, we don't play that game.
We're not in the Arkansas hills.
Oh, my
goodness. We're in the North Carolina hills.
Yeah. Well, you think that makes a difference? Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's some weird stuff going up on in these mountains. So anyway, we got them done today. And like I said, it was a little later than I intended, but at least it got done. And honestly, that's for anybody wanting to do it, it's really not that, it's not a difficult thing. In fact, I think it's a little easier now than when they're younger because it's harder to get their testicles up on the other side of that when they're too small. So I'm kind of liking the time we did it here. So Milk Boy had this little issue. We had this little part where he's been getting out where there's a certain spot where he does have a way to get out. And he's a smart dog and he's found it. So we've got a shock collar on him. And we're not so sure. Well, anyway, we're going to basically fill in that gap with some fence and get him squared away. But yeah, that's really something that's, I mean, that's a double-edged sword, y'all. Remember, when you have something like a Great Pyrenees, this is part of why Greg Judy's quit using Pyrenees alone, where they will run off, leave the flock, and they will chase an animal forever and a day. And sometimes they get out in the way and then they get ganged up on. That could be the case. But in other cases, well, you're leaving them unprotected.
Right. They like to roam.
Yeah, so that's why we have our fence up. But yeah, he found that little gap in there, and we're going to have to close that off and make sure. Remember, when you have, I mean, one of my biggest annoyances, and I know it's yours too, is you and I could never stand people that let their dogs just roam.
Right, especially when it comes, and the thing that really bothers me is, like in Texas, we had this one neighbor whose dog would just chase the sheep. Now, our property was fenced off, but the dog would run along the fence and just scare the sheep. And I cannot stand when dogs are not controlled and they are allowed to chase livestock.
That's one of the things that burns me up. I mean, you see it in a lot of places where people just let their dogs off the leash and they're over there tearing up other people's stuff.
Yeah.
And you and I mean, that is like the bane of our existence. And people just let their dogs go. They're over there killing your chickens. They're doing this. And then I'm like, okay, but this is so common at that place in Texas.
Yeah.
It was so common. Everybody did it. And other places I knew around Texas, they just let their dogs roam. I guess if it's a universally understood thing in the neighborhood, that's one thing. But when you're out in farm country You got him out there chasing somebody's cows. Cows break a leg.
No, your cow or your dog's going to get shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
there, and there's it. It's your fault, too.
Yeah. And it burned me up. I remember having to shoot two dogs. You know, they were probably domesticated, but these fools let them off the hook. And then they wonder why their dogs get shot. So you got to control your animals, y'all. So when it's happening, when we're the ones doing it, man, you can't even begin to imagine the anger and the anxiety that it creates in us, even though there's nobody like really close to us. He's not doing any damage. It could be other things. I mean, what if a person swerves to miss your dog on the road and winds up in a tree?
Yeah.
Because I remember in my fifth year, this is years ago, in my fifth year of apprenticeship in the electrical trade, there was an instructor whose son died for that very reason, but it was a deer he was swerving to miss. And moral to the story, y'all, you better hit the animal. Don't go off the road unless you're, unless you're dealing with a moose or something like that, or a big cow. Even then, your best option may, in many cases, is going to be hit the animal. Don't veer off. Anyway, he died. And it was a tragic thing, but you know, what if the same thing happens? Somebody's missing a dog or trying to miss a dog, and then they wind up in front of a tree. Yeah, you got real problems. Yeah. So I don't want to be the one causing that. So folks, look, moral to the story. If you think it's cute for your animal to just roam around the neighborhood, you probably got neighbors that don't think it's cute. Not in the country. I mean, like I said, they're automatically, most farmers are going to assume if they see a dog out there with their stock, they're going to assume that that dog needs to be shot. And you can't get upset at the guy that shot the dog because he's got cows with broken legs.
Right.
Yeah. And that sort of thing. I mean, a lot of people are getting into this and they don't understand the reason why their dog, they don't understand this.
Yeah. Good fences. Good fences are that, what's that saying? Good fences make good neighbors. It's more than just livestock. It's for your dogs also.
Yeah. Yeah. So
because there was one dog also that, like, came after William.
Yeah, it was
when
a pit bull.
We were in Texas.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just the animals. It was, like, we had a gun everywhere.
Yeah.
We went. Like, yeah, you wouldn't even think about, I carried it everywhere just because I never knew what the neighbor's dog was going to do.
Yeah, it was a pit bull. And, there was an incident. We actually witnessed it. We were there. So check this out. These other folks are walking down the road. Now, this is in rural Texas. They're walking down the road and they got a little dog, and it's a husband and a wife, and I think their little kid. That dog got off the leash, went out there, killed that dog right there in front of them. And then they were and it's not like this is the first time this dog's gotten off and has threatened people. Well, anyway, the guy comes back and y'all, it's about to get, I'm talking like OK Corral kind of shootout. The guy comes back with his family members, and they live down the, these are some trashy SOBs. Anyway, they live further down the road. He comes back, got a whole gang with him. And the guy next to me was this Mexican dude and his wife, and it was his dog. And they come back there. Next thing I know, I hear the woman, I won't say her name, but I heard her in there weeping. And then next thing I know, boom, you know, the guy, you shoot that dog or I'm, The way I kind of inferred what was happening, because we were in earshot, it's like, if you don't shoot that dog, I'm going to murder everybody on this ground.
And you could see, like, I had nightmares about this because I knew if that dog got off of its leash, it was going to kill something. Like, this, it did not take a rocket scientist to figure out what was eventually going to happen.
We've known people here where the dog comes up dead, and then you're upset at all the neighbors,
yeah,
because you can't figure out why.
Because you let your dogs just run all over the place.
Yeah. So, folks, if you're new to this, control your dog. I mean, whether electric fence, whatever the case may be, I don't care what you got to do. But if you don't want a dead dog, you better keep him on your property. And honestly, while we're on the fact, man, I'm probably going to irritate a whole lot of people with this one. Look, your dogs can make you highly inefficient when doing your chores. Michelle and I fight about this all the time, and you know I'm right. Honestly, some people feel that it's idyllic, and it's not just you. I've been over and I've helped a number of people where their dogs are running around and they're hindering you from doing the work you came there to do. To me, it's a massive annoyance. if I'm over there and I'm trying to do whatever and your dog is hindering me or anybody else, whether it's processing, whatever the case may be, if your dog is a problem, then you need to lock that dog up when you're trying to do certain work. Otherwise, it makes you highly, highly, highly inefficient. So you got to consider that as well. All right, y'all. So as far as the noises in the background, we'll make sure we square that away next time. So sorry about that. I know it's something of an annoyance. Well, you'll notice if you've watched the YouTube channel lately that I'm putting out a lot of shorts. And I'm trying to do basically one every day. I do Patreon shorts a couple of times a week, and that's usually very informative stuff that really, really farmers ought to know about. But the most serious people are on Patreon. So I put out some of the, it's stuff that I can be way more cerebral about that's very important that just won't do on YouTube, or it's just not going to make a good YouTube video. So I put those out at least twice a week, and it's something that's really something you really need to know about. But like I said, not going to make a whole video. Nobody's going to want to watch that. Only the people that are really serious about it. But lately I've been putting out a lot of shorts, little snippet things. And in most cases, you almost always find that there's always a preparedness quotient buried into it. Because right now it seems that YouTube is favoring shorts. And I'm thinking, okay, well, how do I get people drummed up on information? And I'm thinking, okay, I hate it. I don't like it. But at the same time, I'm thinking, okay, well, this is a really good way for me to evangelize permaculture in a very small kind of format. I didn't like it at first, and I've kind of grown into it. And I'm like, okay, man, I can go out here. It requires very little of me to do. And it's usually on the heels of something I'm already doing. So if you've noticed, there's a lot more shorts out there. Like I said, they don't pay us anything on YouTube anyway. So, I mean, you know, as far as getting more people down and watching things, look, us and I know a lot of YouTubers out there, y'all, believe me. YouTube has got the brakes like nobody's business on farming content.
Homesteading content.
Yeah, homesteading content. If it's something that's very helpful from people that are going to help you, man, they are really, really putting the brakes on all that when we have record numbers getting into this space. So that's telling me that the powers that shouldn't be really don't want you to be prepared. Yeah, you could say, well, you're not making good videos. Well, you tell me, okay, the videos are better produced than they ever were before, but they're getting less viewership. And it ain't just me. I'm not going to name the other channels, but some of them that have a much wider viewership than I do, even those people have got the brakes put on them. So folks, what I'm saying here is if you look in between the tea leaves and you look at what's going on, first of all, I sure hope you're preparing. I really do. And I'm not going to go dark here, but I'm saying you better be preparing. Our freeze dryer is running day and night. Am I lying?
Nope.
That thing is running day and night. And I'm going to give you a little tip on that one too, of something, having done it for so long, I keep tweaking what I think is going to work out better. So I'll let you know that in a minute. But the bottom line is, when they got the brakes on content like this, when we know record numbers are getting into this space, folks, you better have your powder dry. You better be ready. You better be preparing, because the last thing the powers that shouldn't be want is for any of us to be prepared. So that's why if YouTube short algorithms is what they're, like I said, they don't pay you for them anyway. I mean, you got to have millions and millions of views on a short for it to pay a dime. No, I'm putting it out there, y'all, because I'm trying to drive people to this content in whatever way that I can. Call it a public service announcement, call it whatever you want. But I'm trying to get that information out there. So if you're wondering why there are a lot of shorts out there, that's the reason why. And plus, it's a cinch to edit. I mean, 5 minutes and I'm able to record. I mean, if you add it all up, it's probably 7 minutes at most to edit a short. And a full-length video might take an hour or two. I mean, I know that's crazy. I know a lot of other YouTubers that spend 8 hours per video.
Take much longer than that.
Yeah, I'm like, boy, I'm doing something wrong, man. But I mean, I just don't have the bandwidth for that. We just don't, because we're actually out here. We move our animals every day. We're doing projects every day. We're doing everything we can. And if I'm going to do this podcast, there can't be time editing. If I'm going to do YouTube, there can't be much time editing. So I'm just going to get the information out there. And the people that it needs to find, well, that's what we pray for. We pray for y'all. And once again, y'all, I'm going to ask y'all to pray for us. All right. So let me move on to something else. Well, we harvested some peaches and we got more coming because they come out in later times. I've been putting blackberries as often as I think about it in my, I don't know, I might start doing this smoothie thing, but I've been putting blackberries into my lettuce every day or in my salad. Yeah. Every morning. And I'm like, okay, well, there's a lot of anthocyanins in there. I don't know what those are, but Mike Adams says they're good for you.
Tells you you're supposed to eat them.
Yeah. So they're, you know, they're the black and purple and all these other colors. I'd love to get some raspberries, but you seem to want to hoard all those.
No, you have to go pick them.
Well, you know, when I pick some, I usually pick extra. I pick a bunch of peaches. Oh, Michelle, hey, I got peaches out here. You don't ever tell me nothing about these ones you're picking.
Tell you.
Yeah, here's three. Here's three.
I go down there and I pick and eat.
Yeah, so we were in something of a drought as of. Well, maybe we might right back in it.
I think we're still in it.
Well, we did get some rain.
We did, but we're still pretty dry.
Well, here's the deal. And I'm going to try to cover this in a video, but I mean, I can talk about it right now. So when you're not getting a whole lot of rain, folks, you're going to notice, look, I'm going to tell you something that's going to be 180 degrees out of phase. If you're in a Western culture, when you mow your grass, you know, this, whatever your mower settings are, it's relatively low. But I can probably fill an entire book with all the reasons why you shouldn't do that if you're running animals of any sort out there. You want that grass as long as it can be. You want your animals to go in there, do their work, move out. But you don't want them to eat it down to the ground. You want them to get a bite, get a couple of bites, and then you want them to move on. Because in a drought, that ground cover is going to be the best thing in the world for you. You want that mat down there. You want a cool, cool soil. Not only for your water retaining capabilities, but also for the microbes that are down in there. So many of us, I mean, there's obviously going to be areas on your property that maybe you want to treat like a lawn. But when you're in the middle of a drought, the worst thing you can do is leave that soil bare. Now, do we have some bare spots? Sure. We got some that I had every intention today, and I still might get around to it, of going around front and putting down some hay. Where the sheep have kind of, I kind of let them in the area. Next time, I'm not going to let them have access to it until it grows in fully. It was grown in, and then they went in there, ate it up, and then stomped it down. So, yeah, don't cut your grass down to nothing if you're running animals out there. Forget what the neighbors are saying. I mean, if you're running animals out there, I mean, the only time I'm not going to use a mower. I don't have a brush hog. I don't have any of that stuff. So I go in with a weed eater in spring. Well, all the way till spring, because our grasses are real long, the spring grasses. So after the sheep go through, if I don't have enough sheep to create enough damage, I'm going to go in there with a weed eater and I'm going to cut it about 2 feet high. That's about where, you know,
right. Cut the seed heads off.
Yep. I'm cutting the seed heads off and I'm leaving everything else. Now you don't have to do that, but it's only going to accelerate the stuff you got going there. If you can throw some extract on there, we're going to cover more of that. So anyway, when you're in these drought periods, the worst thing you can do, so if you made that mistake of getting it too low next time, well, rethink it next time because it makes all the difference in the world. And with all those microbes down in there, Michelle, what's one of the things they do?
Well, the reason that you don't want bare soil is because the temperature, having cover on your soil lowers the temperature. If it's too hot, your microbes are just, I mean, they're not going to make it. They're going to die.
Yeah. And if you have all that duff down in there, they can bury themselves into the soil. If there's not enough moisture in there, you know, things like nematodes and some of the others that are a little more mobile than your bacteria and fungi, they're going to go deeper into the soil. And then when conditions are right, they're going to come back up. So you'll find that even in your compost pile. I didn't explain that in one of the last shorts I did. I mean, it's a short. I got about a minute to get it out there. But make sure also you're watering your compost pile. You want to keep that stuff moist and then cover it up, because when you cover it up, what's going to happen, honey?
Well, what do you mean?
On your compost, on your compost pile.
It's going to retain moisture, which is going to.
Well, also your fungal component is going to be able to thrive a lot better in that dark things. But you don't cover it up completely. You leave a little breathing room in there. So keep that going. All right. So what we got coming up this weekend is, let's see, today is 4th of July, which is just, well, normally we do something on 4th of July, but today we're not. We're just kind of chilling and, believe it or not, working. And that's just what we do. I mean, we don't have any kids to throw off fireworks or anything like that. But coming up this weekend, July 6th, the Texas Boys, and I think my son's going to be there as well. Go to thetexasboys.com or go to their YouTube and find out. I don't recall what it's going to be at Bob Wells Nursery back in Texas. And they're going to have another gathering there. So that's going to be July 6th. So if you're in the neighborhood, anywhere in the Arklatex, go over there, check them out. And then I should have been advertising for this thing a while back. I'll be honest with y'all. I just kind of dropped the ball on it. And that's the East Tennessee Homestead Alliance Festival. That's coming up next weekend. And so just look it up, East Tennessee Homestead Alliance. If you're anywhere in the area around there, North Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia even, I mean, anywhere around those places, man, you might want to check it out. That's going to be July 12th and 13th. Folks, I'm big on these festivals. Even though I don't have any, I don't get anything out of telling you about them. I'm telling you about them for the very reasons I talked about a minute ago. Because you're going to believe it or not, at a lot of these things, a lot of these gatherings, like what the Texas Boys and what my son, the permaculture consultant, what they're doing down there is these are the precursors to creating mutual assistance groups. This is where it starts. If you don't know where to start, go to one of these events. And then you're going to find out where to go. So many people are into this space and they're thinking, oh my goodness, man, I don't even know where to start. Well, you need a community and you're not going to be able to grow everything. You're not going to be able to produce everything. You're not going to have all the necessary skills you need for everything. Let's say you're a mechanic. Well, you may not be an electrician, but you may want to run into one or a carpenter or a heat and air guy or gal or any of these people. You're going to find them at these alliances, at these homestead alliances or these events. That's why I go on about them so much. They're not paying me to say this. I mean, I'm doing it because I know how important it is, especially when you're starting out. So once again, East Tennessee Homestead Alliance Festival, that's going to be July 12th and 13th. In case I forget, like I said, I'm going to be there. Other people are going to be there of note. But most importantly, the pimp daddy of Polyface is going to be there. So if you don't go for any other reason, y'all, I'm going to tell you, I've been at this. Michelle has been at this for a very long time. And every single time I'm around Joel, it's like drinking from a fire hose. Am I wrong?
No. Whenever Joel is talking, I am trying to listen to every word he says. He is one of those people. I don't care what he's talking about. You better be listening.
Yeah, I don't care what it is. I mean, he is the subject matter expert, and he'll never tell you that. But every time I have these private moments with him, man, it's like, I mean, every time there's an opportunity to pick him up at the airport, I'm the first one on it. Because in that 10-minute drive, you will learn something that will absolutely positively blow your mind. And he eats, sleeps, breathes. I mean, this is what he does. And then the best part about it, he is so well-traveled, whether on this continent or the others, that he's able to take all this stuff, collate it, and he is always thinking all the time. He's always got his notepad out. You know, when Joel's sitting in one of my classes and he's taking notes, I'm like, the first time it happened, I'm like, I was kind of a little bit dumbfounded for a minute there. I'm like, I can't believe he's sitting in my class. But anyway, you're going to be so much better for it. Like I said, East Tennessee Homestead Alliance is July 12th and 13th. Go check it out. And then don't forget the festival we're part of. That's going to be August 29th through the 31st. 30th is my birthday. And what you going to make me, honey? Cake.
You think I can make cake for 300 people?
Well, I think you ought to give it a good college try. You make two cakes, one for me, one for everybody else, because if they ever taste this chocolate cake you make, it is going to...
Sorry, everybody. We've only got one cake.
Yeah, so we're going to auction off pieces of it. But folks, I'm telling you, she is something else. And honestly, I've never had better chocolate cake in my life. William, he might actually make that trip along with our grandbaby just to get some of that cake because it is that phenomenal.
I'll have to hire Bobby Flay so he can make his own recipe.
No. So anyway, that's coming up. Homesteaders United Jamboree. I think we only got 100 tickets left to that thing. So folks, you want to sign up while you can. And this one, I couldn't be more proud of. It's about as close to all-inclusive that you're ever going to find. And this is one of those ones where you're going to walk away with real deal hands-on knowledge. And one of the things I'm most excited to do is the first ever in-person composting class.
Yes.
So I'm going to go out there early. You're not just going to see it in a two-dimensional thing. Now, like I said, we're going to be processing animals as well, too. And if you go to this thing, we're going to give you the electronic version of it. But the thing that I'm most... You should walk away from this thing having full knowledge of how to process an animal on any animal on four legs. That's number one. And you should walk out of here with knowing how, from start to finish, how to make your compost at home and make it work. Because you're not just, it's difficult to see, I know, in a YouTube video.
Yeah, there's so much nuance in compost. It's very difficult to see or to explain moisture levels through a YouTube video. So seeing it is going to be so helpful.
Well, not just the moisture, it's what should it feel like? How much, you know, when I pick it up, what should it do? And I'm so excited that I'm going to be able to demonstrate this to anybody that wants to learn it. So you should be able, if you take good notes and take videos, you should be able to take this process home. And you think about this. This is one thing I'm so doggone proud of, is that when you leave there, okay, this compost, if you know how to make that, you don't have to buy fertilizer ever again on your homestead. And you should be able to process any animal, whether it's a deer you process, because the same techniques apply. I do a method of processing that would work on any four-legged animal, and it's going to blow your mind. So that's, and then there's a lot of other classes going on there, beekeeping, you name it. There's a whole lot of stuff going on there, and I'm so proud of it, of what we're going to be able to have people walk away with. All right, so Redemption Shield, y'all, what do you got your, well, I was going to say, what do you have your feet on, but you didn't do it until I told you.
Well, they've been on and off.
Yeah, so when we're around all these electronics, it's very important. We're staying grounded, y'all, and part of where we get our stuff is from RedemptionShield.com. 10% off with promo code PERMA, y'all. We stay grounded as often as we can. I got grounding flip-flops. We got grounding everything, man. I mean, am I wrong? We bought a bunch of these mats. And I mean, it's going to look a little weird in our living room, our bedroom, in our computer room. I mean, you got one under your computer desk over there. We got one under this broadcasting. Look, if I'm around anything electronic, I'm in the middle of the Electric Rainbow. Don't even remember the exact name of this book, but folks, if you knew what was going on with a lot of the electricity that's going on around you, you know why you need to get grounded. Look, if you can get outside, go ahead. But if you can't, or you live in an apartment, go check out RedemptionShield.com. Or if it's cold outside, or you're just sitting there watching TV, man, do something. Make it a party with a purpose, man. Ground yourself. Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. All right, good news. All right, so we're going to jump right into this. Maybe you got some opinions on this, or maybe you don't. How meal sequencing with protein and veggies can improve your health. Now, in this article, the way it works, and I actually do it this way, and I learned it from a French lady initially, and once she explained it to me, it made all the difference in the world. Now, the way I do it is you start with a salad, okay? And every single meal, for the most part, I eat a salad ahead of time. Unless I'm in a big rush and I'm tired and it's at night or whatever, and I may just go to the main course. But it's usually salad, protein, fat, and then if you're going to take anything sugar, you want it at the very end. Now, how do they structure it whenever you go to most restaurants? What do they give you when you first get there?
Have a basket of bread.
Right, and you know why they do it? I had no idea until this French lady explained it. I'm going to tell y'all. What happens is you eat that bread and you're going to have a massive insulin response, okay? And especially now, if it's bread in France, you probably won't, because they're using real stuff. Here in the United States of Amnesia, you can believe that bread that they're serving you is crap, unless it is a very, very, very high-end restaurant. So they give you the bread, you have this, and then they come out with whatever let's say you got a salad, let's say you got the meal, and at the end, they time it because they know by the end of your meal, the bread will have worn off. And now it's kicking back in at about the time the dessert's coming around. So you're likely to buy dessert if you eat that bread. But she was describing that if you were to just switch it up, if they gave you salad ahead of time, the number of desserts they would be able to sell would be in the toilet.
Yeah.
Absolutely in the toilet. If they started you off with salad and then they find out that even if you're going to eat something sweet, which, you know, I don't recommend, but even if you do, you eat it in that order. You eat your carbs, your protein, your fat, and then your sweets.
Well, your vegetables, not necessarily your.
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I mean, I wouldn't eat mashed potatoes the first thing because right. I think that's going to do the same thing as like a bucket of bread.
Well, you're high fiber right. in the form of your salad. So I'm glad you corrected me on that. And it could be in the form of green beans or anything else. So yeah, you want to eat in that order and you're going to find out that your insulin response is going to be much, much lower. So I've been doing that for probably a year now. And I do that pretty much every single meal. Yeah. And you feel better for it. You don't have that crash and it makes all the difference in the world. So here's another one. Check out these other sources of omega-3 aside from fish. Now I take omega-3 every day in the form of, capsules and stuff like that. And the good quality stuff, you shouldn't be burping it up. If it's good for you, you shouldn't feel any kind of digestive response from it if it's really good stuff. And, you know, we use really good stuff. But other places where you can get it, chia seeds, flax seeds, hemp seeds, perilla oil, walnuts, and alga oil. Never heard of that one before. You ever heard of that?
Alga? No, I haven't.
A-L-G.
No, I've never heard of that.
Yeah. So I never heard of that one either. But, typically sardines and little fish like that. Usually it's a pretty good place because they haven't bioaccumulated a bunch of garbage in there. So I get it, we get it from Norwegian right. sources, which is about as clean as you're ever going to find in some of the oceans, but it's usually those small fish. But yeah, here's some other ways in which I'm thinking I want to get some of this stuff. You may already have it down there. Chia seeds, flax seeds. I think we got flax.
Yeah, I've got chia seeds. I make actually protein cookies that have chia seeds in them.
Wow. What about hemp seeds?
And flax seeds. I don't think I have any hemp seeds, no.
I didn't see flax on the list, but yeah.
Are you chia. Sure?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I did. Chia, flax, hemp. So we need to get all those. Walnuts, which I love anyway.
We've got flax, chia. There's a whole thing of chia seeds down there.
Yeah, so maybe you ought to make me some more of those walnut cookies.
I could make like a jam with like a chia seed peach jam.
Hey. You ain't going to catch me complaining, but you might catch me not eating it because I don't eat much of that these days. But,
well,
tons of strawberry jam out. I mean, tons of it.
No, this is like this. You don't can this kind of stuff. It's like a fresh, just eat it fresh.
Oh, okay. That's what I'm talking about. All right. Number three, check this one out. Michelle, you may not even heard this story. I'm going to break it. I usually break these out on you when we get in here. So check this out. Now, I'm not a fan of any politician, but I am going to say, I'm going to read this out there and I'm going to get you your initial response. So Trump announces that he will investigate Big Pharma over autism, infertility, allergies, et cetera. Is he serious about going after the vaccine industry? What are your thoughts?
So he's not going to investigate Operation Warp Speed that he just, under his presidency, is that what you're telling me?
Or maybe this is a backdoor way of saying, because this is 180 degree on him. Maybe this is a backdoor way of him. I think this is meant to tell all the people. Well, I mean, obviously it's multifaceted. What the intent is almost certainly going to be. But the people that are upset with him about that are thinking, oh, this is his way of actually doing that very thing. First of all, do you believe?
No, I don't. Trump said in his initial term, he was going after Hillary Clinton, and he did not do that. He said a lot of things that he was going to do, and he didn't do it. So do I believe a word he says? No, I don't.
No, I'm not buying it either. And honestly, when you look at, okay, go watch Fox News. Go watch MSNBC. Go watch, okay, find out who the number one advertisers are on every single one of those prostitute media outlets. Who is it?
Big Pharma.
And what didn't we see when we were up in Canada?
Yeah, we didn't see any pharmaceutical. The United States is the only country that allows that.
And New Zealand. United States and New Zealand. And that was according to Stefan, who told us that United States and New Zealand are the only countries on the planet that allow pharmaceuticals to do that on TV. I mean, it's inundated. You and I were like, it jumped out at us. And when I saw Stefan, there came a point where I was like, man, Canadian TV, man, you watch it and you actually feel better.
You don't feel like high anxiety or angry when the TV is on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, are they covering all the news? I don't know, but I know this much. You go to commercial break and I'm not seeing anything about pharmaceuticals. So, you know what? I'll believe that when I see it. I ain't buying it. I ain't believing it. I think he, like everybody else, is bought and paid for by that industry and a number of others, including APAC. You know what? I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt for now. But if he's saying he's going to create a commission, which is what he's saying, yeah, commissions basically ordain orthodoxies.
Right.
How did the Warren Commission work out?
Yeah.
Every commission that I'm aware of.
The 9/11 Commission.
Yes. Every single commission will sanction every orthodoxy. Find me a commission that's ever done what it was supposed to do. They're there to provide pavlov to the American people. So, yeah, once again, I'll believe it when I see it. Boy, you ain't just beautiful. You're smart too, honey. All right, with that said, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, a community of individuals. It seems the easiest and laziest way to stand against a common practice or belief is to put the word toxic in front of it. Toxic masculinity, toxic feminism, toxic positivity, or toxic individualism. Just as China has taken collective control to an extreme, America has promoted individualism the same way. The rugged pioneer hacking a homestead out of the wilderness is great for stories and movies, but in reality is the fast way to failure. But this is ingrained in so many of us as the American way. The army of one can conquer all. One of the greatest examples of ecosystem regeneration is the Loess Plateau in China. They basically removed all the farmers and animals from an area the size of Belgium and paid them to stay away until a sustainable mainframe could be established. I can't imagine this happening in America. Too many individuals with too many agendas. And while I wouldn't want to live in communist China, the speed at which they can make massive change through the population is quite remarkable. As with most things, the answer lies in the middle. I think a lot of our problems in this country can be traced back to the lack of community. But it's a community of individuals that create the best result, leveraging our unique traits and abilities to benefit the collective. Just as our permaculture designs value diversity, they must serve the whole system to be sustainable. Intentional communities where everything is shared means no one takes responsibility for anything, and a neighborhood of individuals that don't want to interact with each other is a sad and unsecure place to live. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog right there, y'all. Every single time I listen to Eric's things, I'm like, why didn't I do a show on that? Mm-hmm. Every single time. Because, boy, he keeps knocking it out of the park every single time. And he just gets better and better and better talking about it. But, man, he's absolutely correct. I mean, these extremes on either side. Now, I don't want to be a part of any collective. I would rather, this is why I talked about mutual assistance groups, where everybody feels like they're like, you know, like fingers of a hand. But at the same time, it was like what the settlers, when they came, not the settlers, but the people that landed at Plymouth Rock.
The pilgrims,
when they got here, they were dropping like flies because they worked as a collective. I mean, their death count was off the charts. Then the governor, I've talked about it before, the governor, I need to remember his name, but the governor said, okay, here's how we're going to work this. We no longer have a collective. Everybody, you grow your own stuff, and then you trade with everybody else around you. And through that, what happened? All of a sudden, they started to thrive. So there is that happy medium in there. And like Eric said, where you got a bunch, when you got a collective, I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I've seen it, whether it was in Occupy Wall Street or whatever. Everybody, when there's a collective, nobody does anything.
When it's a group, anything, nobody, like group yeah. projects, even like one or two people do the work and then everybody else halfway works.
Yeah.
Or lets the two people do the work.
Yeah. How many times? I know you're a big, you hate group projects and always have.
Yes.
Yeah. Same here. I mean, I've always hated them too. In college, it's like, okay, so you're sitting down to work on something and then you talk about everything but that project.
Right.
And it's like, okay, we keep steering off. I mean, you almost have to do a Robert's Rules of Order to try to keep this thing on track. And yeah, I mean, boy, there's so much to unpack there. Okay, if I'm not careful, I will unpack it. So I'm just going to leave it right there. But man, Eric, you knocked it out of the park yet again. All right, before we get into the main topic, EMP Shield, y'all, I'm a 27-year journeyman wireman from the IBEW. That's International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. And look, y'all, they're not dropping their endorsement. I am on EMP Shield and Redemption Shield. They didn't reach out to me. I reached out to them because they got the very best thing on the market. Look, when things go stupid, you're not going to the club. You should, if you got any sense at all, you're going to the house. You're going to your bug out location. And that's why EMP Shield comes in. And I'm telling you what, the device they have for the house that you put into your panel, they got such an ironclad guarantee that if lightning strikes your place and blows your computer off the wall or anything else in there, look, they're going to cover you for 25 G's. Find me another transient voltage surge suppressor on the market that guarantees anything. EMP Shield. That's why I reached out to them, y'all. And you can get the benefits of them too. So 50 bucks off with promo code PERMA, empshield.com. All right. So we're going to jump into the main topic. And this is part of the reason why I got the Homestead Honey in here. Plus, she's a really awesome color commentator on so many awesome things. And you don't see enough of it. So we're just basically getting her to, you know, from time to time, roll in here and drop it like it's hot. I know that means something different these days. I don't care. Anyway, let me kind of set this up. A couple of, I don't know, maybe it was late last week, got an email from John, and he sends me this thing about this lady. And he basically, John, I don't know where you got this from, but you read my mind. And I think he looks through a lot of the videos that he must have been around a while, because a lot of videos I did in the past about all of the fake homestead channels out there. And they're usually the real big ones where they come in for photo ops and they're pretending to farm. I've been critical of them in the past, and I've been especially critical of the ones, I mean, that necessarily isn't hurting anybody, but the ones that get me are the ones that all of a sudden are experts on preparedness. When they were in the homesteading space and they were doing good work there, well, they realized the algorithms would favor them better if they just focused on fear. Now, those are the ones. And some of those people are downright frauds. I know this personally, that they are frauds. I'm not going to tell you who they are, but I know for a fact that they are frauds. Anyway, John saw some of those videos, and he equated this phenomenon that apparently has been going on for quite a while, but you and I don't watch TV.
But since we live under a rock, we don't have a clue about
it. Well, it was actually brought up to me by one of my friends named Stephanie. Actually, she runs the bakery that we get our stuff from. It's if you're ever in Asheville, it's
West End
Bakery. And, you know, they use all the finest ingredients. It's not all the fluff and the foo-foo that you're going to see at some of the other bakeries, but they use honest ingredients and they use good stuff. And all the stuff they can't give away or, you know, to the homeless or things they can't sell, they go to, you know, us. And we do really awesome stuff with it. But anyway, so John sends me this thing. Stephanie brought up, I don't know, a year ago or more, or somewhere there, about this thing about these trad wives. And she explained what it was and said it was like one crazy hot phenomenon. It didn't make any sense to me. I didn't understand it.
Yeah, we didn't pay any attention to what she was talking about really at the time.
And she was like, yeah, this is like the biggest thing right now. And I'm like, I've never heard of it. Don't know anything about it. John sends his video of this other YouTuber, this blonde lady whose name I don't recall, but she has a pretty big following. And judging by what I saw in her video, she seems like she's got a lot of sense. And she's going on about these trad wives. Now, like, some of y'all may be like us, that you don't have a clue what we're talking about. And we didn't have a clue. Michelle, why don't you tell them? There's a reason why we're bringing this up, and there's a reason why she's in here and is going to comment on this. Is there any way you can describe what a trad wife is?
Okay. So I have looked into this, and there's this whole world out there that I had no idea existed. So a trad wife is, now there are a bunch of different denominations of it from what I understand, but it's a woman, typically a younger woman, that has decided that the traditional role is of like being a wife and the stay-at-home mom and whatever is what she's going to do. And there's typically now, and this is where the different factions come in, because there are your traditional wives that would never be on social media. But then there's this other component who they put all of their things on social media. So if they're making sourdough bread is a big thing, they put it on, like they record the whole process and put it on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, whatever their social media outlet is.
Yeah. So sorry, y'all, we're having a little bit of feedback here. Okay.
So that is, and there are some that take it just completely over the top.
What I didn't realize in all of this is that this was a thing. It is a honest to goodness thing now where it's really pretend. And you see it probably in some of the homestead spaces. I didn't realize this. And then you got other people that are highly critical of women who aren't in these or don't dress like they're in these traditional roles. Now, you came from many generations of a farm family back east. And tell everybody out there how your grandmother, who's what, 90 years old now?
Right. She just turned 90. Still making dinner for...
Yeah. Okay. Your grandmother, 90 years old, sharp as a tack, great sense of humor, wise as all get out. And your aunts and the other women in your family that all have lived this lifestyle long before anybody ever heard of a trad wife. How do they dress on the homestead?
They dress appropriately for the work that they're going to do. So they're not dressing in dresses to go out and do farm work. Like they have pants on, like a reasonable, rational woman doing farm work would do.
Even your grandmother.
Right. They wear pants.
The picture of us on a fridge, she's wearing pants.
Right. My grandmother wears dresses on Sunday when she goes to church. Like she does. It's not appropriate.
It's not efficient or functional.
Right. To wear it if you're milking cows.
It just doesn't even make sense. Or if you're out there doing the work you do every day. I mean, we're literally walking up the side of mountains. You're in all kinds of briars and bristles and stuff. If you were wearing a dress,
it would get caught and ripped up.
You would not have that dress very long.
Right.
No.
Right.
There is no way you could do this kind of work. Not in the way we do it. I mean, if you're pretending.
Oh, yeah. If you're pretending. Yeah. I'm sure you could wear a dress.
Yeah. I mean, now if you're going out there collecting eggs, yeah, you might be able to wear a dress. But when you're out weed eating and doing all the, now I did see a woman in a weed eating in a dress and a bonnet one time. And it wasn't that long ago, but by and large, this lady who had made this video, and I sent it off to you, I was like, you got to see this. What I didn't realize. Okay. So here's how the videos are going down, and they have enormous followings, and all of these young ladies are basically getting on board. So the one example was, and she's sounding like she's just all very, you know, the voice is like, you could tell it's contrived.
And that's part of it. That's part of the production is the voice. You have to sound very calm and like, I'm going to make cornflakes from scratch for my kids today.
Yeah. So she said the kids woke up hungry and mama, I want some cornflakes. Okay, Junior, can you wait 6 hours for this to be done? And you just happen to have all the stuff laying around the house for some cornflakes.
That's the part of it where you lose me, because anybody that has one child, if you tell them, hang on, wait 6 hours while I bake bread so I can make your peanut butter and jelly or make your cornflakes, that was the quickest way. William didn't get upset very much, but if I told him it was going to be 6 hours before he could eat,
when he was little, that was the only time you'd ever see him upset when he was hungry.
He would have been like, no.
Yeah, that was, I mean, and then, okay, the other thing was, oh, my sister's coming over. She likes gum. I don't have any gum in the house, so I'm going to make her some. Oh, you ain't got no gum, but you got all the stuff laying around to make this gum.
Base in the cupboard.
You just happen to, you know, all the cameras just happen to be set up But what I didn't realize, and then what the lady pointed out, and which it brought me right back to you, because you've struggled a fair portion of your life because of things similar to this, because you always felt as if you felt isolated for most of your life because you couldn't find many women that had the same sensibilities as you.
Right.
That, yeah, you're a mother, you're a wife, you're doing all these things, but you also have dreams. You didn't just go into that.
Yeah, I didn't have dreams to just, yes, kids, and that is great. But when your kids hit 18, even when they hit 16, like you can't, like you have to, your kids are not home for like, it's a relatively short amount of time. What are you going to do when the kids leave? You know, like you've got to have something to do with your life after your kids are out of the house.
Right. But your life didn't begin and end after you've had dreams, you've had accomplishments, folks. I mean, if you knew the long list of accomplishments she's had while being a mother when he was young. But this whole thing of you always felt like there was something wrong with you.
Right. Because most of the women I knew, that's what they wanted to do, was be moms and stay at home. Like be moms and just stay home and take care of their kids, which is fine. There is nothing wrong with that if that's what you want to do. I just wanted something different, and there was not a whole lot of people for me to look up to.
Well, in addition to being a mom, I mean, right. No. So yeah, we got to lay that out clearly because people aren't going to understand the way that was framed, is that in addition to being a mom, your life didn't end. You still had goals, dreams, right. Farming goals, and all these other things that you didn't give up on just because you had a child.
Right.
And so you always felt isolated, or like women just aren't going to relate to you. They're not going to like you. You know, that's been a lifelong struggle for you. And then all of a sudden you see this thing, this video, where it is the end thing now for people to pretend. Okay, so you're living this farm life. Okay, if all you do is go out there, maybe collect eggs, work in the garden a little bit, and bake, is that a realistic, okay, from you coming from many, many generations of people that do traditional farming, not permaculture farming, is that even a realistic?
No, it's not even a little bit. The amount of work you, like if you really want to run a farm, like you're not going to have time to set up a tripod to record everything that you're going to do, because you have to get some work done.
You described your grandmother. Well, your grandmother actually said it, where it wasn't uncommon for her. She'd had to cook 3 different meals a day, milking the cows and looking after the children.
Yeah, and all these at the were same not time. Like grilled cheese meals. These were meat and potatoes, like meat and potatoes for lunch and like, Two meals of the day were meat and potatoes. So these were not.
She's cooking for farmhands too.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, she's cooking 3 legit meals for hungry people that are out there working, raising the kids, doing all this stuff along the way. But it's given, like that lady says in there, it's given her a false expectation of what a mom is supposed to be these days.
Right. And also, when you look into it, there's 3 women that were, that are the most popular, I think. And when you really dig into it, there's a lot of wealth that these 3 women had, which allows them to do the things that they're doing.
Pretending, yeah.
Right. Because if that wasn't there, they would actually have to do physical work in order to keep that, to maintain the farm or whatever it is they're doing.
Well, it was like me and Eric Sider talking about years ago. This was a private conversation. I don't think Eric would mind me saying it, but you know, a person who's saying, oh, I built this homestead from the ground up. And then you find out, well, mom and dad gave you the land. They gave you this, they gave you that. You didn't know, you didn't start like we did with absolutely nothing, with us, you know, wait until midnight for the money to go in so we can go get diapers. You didn't have to hack it from the bottom up. And so when you get people out here that start with, I mean, it's fine if you did, but you might want to make that known, because it creates a false expectation for the people that are moving from, let's say, a city life to a farm life, and they have this false expectation of what it looks like.
Right. Because, like, even in Texas, we started with raw land, meaning we had to get power, we had to get water, we had to get a sewer, we had an RV on there. And the amount of work, like, if we should have documented that whole process.
Yeah, we didn't.
Like, rolling the hoses up at night in the middle of winter so they didn't freeze, so we would actually have water the next day.
And putting those hoses in the RV along with three people and three dogs in 300 square feet. It wasn't even that much, really.
No.
Three people and three dogs in 300 square feet, and we did that for 5 years. And then we lived in a cabin before then that was about as small. So, I mean, we know what it's like to start from the bottom up. And when I see these trad wives, now that I know what they are, I'm looking at some of these things in a much different light, because I know for a fact you ain't out there working no bees in a skirt.
And also, like, the amount of makeup that they put on, who puts that amount of makeup on to do, like, if you were to put that amount of makeup on and then go work out in the Texas heat, you would have a mess on your face.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's ones that do it, but at the same time, it is a false reality. I mean, it's like everything seems fake these days.
Yeah. It is.
It's like, good night. And then all of the other women, young women that have been inspired by these people, thinking, okay. And in fact, I submit to you that a lot of them might just be flat out lazy. They're thinking, oh, I'll be a trad wife. I'll just raise kids and sit around, eat bonbons, and then I'll go look for a doctor.
Yeah.
How often is that happening?
But also, there's women that, like, probably look at these social media people and there was this one video that I watched about it. And this girl was watching these because that's what she wanted to be. And she was like, man, I am doing something wrong because my life is so much more difficult than these people. And so there's women out there that are watching these thinking, what am I doing wrong? Like, this woman can do everything. Why can't I do everything?
Well, these are symptoms of a decadent society. These are when you got people that are worried about their sex change operation, or so you got the people that want to be like Taylor Swift. And then you got the other end of the spectrum where they're wanting to be this trad wife, and all of it is fake. It really is.
Well, some, I think that there are, some, I don't even like sex of the trad wife that, but it's like the more conservative people who probably aren't on social media. They're like,
yeah, they wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Now there are traditions out there, whether it's the Amish or, you know, Anabaptist or some of the others that, you know, yeah, the women are going to wear dresses and they're going to do funk, but they're not out there loading hay either.
They're also not showing everything on Instagram. Like, no. They're actually cooking for their family and, like.
Right. So what do you, I mean, after you saw this, did you have a, when you saw this expose of this lady, because this was a trend you neither one of us knew about, what were your thoughts afterwards?
My initial thought is, first of all, I can't even believe that there's a market for stuff like this, because the one girl that's just making homemade gum because this isn't even real. It's not even believable. Like, come up with a better storyline, because you're not even a little bit believable. But also, there's another woman that you're doing a disservice to a lot of young women out there, because number one, it's a lot of hard work, and you have conditions that not everybody is going to have, and you're not making people aware of that. So you're setting people up for failure, because people's expectations are one thing, and that is not reality. It's like that with social media, though. You have to understand, people put on social media what they want you to see, and that is not accurate. It's just what they want you to see.
Well, like everything else, it seems like a manufactured lie.
People don't realize that.
You know, it when I'm looking at this, I'm thinking of the sickness. Like I said, I'll be honest with you. The only thing that cures this is, and I've said it, I don't know how many times on this show, is the crucible of really hard times. These are issues of a decadent society. Like I was listening to Dr. Mindy Peltz, who does an awful lot of work with women and fasting and stuff. And it was her and a number of other doctors that we live in, because of the society, we have sicknesses of privilege. Well, I think you can also extend that into mental sicknesses of privilege. When somebody has to go out there and be ultra, like I'd said before, after COVID, even though we got the all clear from the government, there were still the woke bakeries and stuff out there that still insisted on, even though it was torpedoing. And I told you at the time, I said, look, these people think it's a badge of honor that they just went out of business because they were stupid. They really do. They think this is a badge of honor because, oh, I'm out of business because I, you know, whatever. When people are doing these things, when they're chopping off their organs, these are problems of very decadent society. When women are going out there pretending to be this trad wife, and I think there's a whole lot of laziness baked into the cake on that one. Because if you're that traditional, well, we just talked about what your traditional grandmother, your aunts, and all them are doing. They're hacking it out of the wilderness, bearing their children along the way. Right. And they don't have time for all this nonsense. So, folks, going right back, I mean, I guess I weave something of a tapestry here. This, everything we're talking about right now are hallmark signs of a decadent society that's well on its way to collapse. This can't continue. When people are going out of their way to do this and we got people emulating it, whether it's Taylor Swift or these trad wives, or whether it's, you know, the guy who knows everything about every football team out there, but doesn't, you know, he thinks the Bill of Rights is something the waiter leaves on the table. This is not leading to a wonderful place. So once again, y'all, get your house in order because it's about to get stupid. Is there anything else you'd like to add to this? I mean, do you feel better after having seen that expose?
I do, but I also wasn't aware of a lot of this that was going on. But I feel like just pointing out to the women that are watching this, this is not realistic. This is not a realistic expectation of homesteading or mom life, or because there's never any kids screaming in the background. I mean, it's always, everybody's very calm. Like you don't see the parts where, you know, like I said, they only put on social media what they want you to see. There's a whole lot they leave off. So if you're not living up to, if your day looks a whole lot different than their people, you're probably doing something right.
There you go. All right. With that said, we're going to get into the Q&A. Well, we got one from Waylon here. Man, he's been such a joy to reach out. You know, he's had some problems. Look, hey, y'all, I'm going to tell you straight up, bone sauce is not a panacea, but it's the best thing out there. It works best if you're able to put it on your trees when they're in a dormant season. And typically, putting bone sauce on the steaks is going to help a great deal, but it's not a panacea. But you find me anything else out there that works better, yeah, I'll wait because you ain't going to find it. And sometimes you may have to reapply it over and over and over again. And that's the case. I mean, Waylon pointed it out to me and he's like, hey man, you know, they're rolling in here. They're doing some stuff. So I was like, okay, man, you know, and he was very, very, very generous with his response there. So, you know, it's really cool that when you have people out there that do understand that, hey, this stuff is not a panacea, but it is the best that's out there. So, let's see here. We got one from, well, let me go back to the drawing board. I got some weird stuff going on here with some of the, Anyway, it looks like I got a crash here and I'm not going to be able to get the comments here. Hey, it's the way the cookie crumbles on a day like today. So it is what it is. Look, y'all, happy 4th of July, but do me a favor. Before we get out of here, I want you to, even though you're probably going to hear this maybe a day or two later, read the Declaration of Independence. Everybody tells you no taxation without representation was the reason we fought this revolution. No. Go read it. Read the list of grievances. I just put out a short saying, in your life, did you ever make a list of complaints and the most important thing you bury in the middle of a document? No. But everybody tells you we did it over no taxation without representation. That was number 17 on a list of 27. So go read the things that were before then and read the things that were after. And then ask yourself, are we on that same place right now? All right. There's your homework assignment. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
Always catches the worm. Now I gotta get up.